You're listening to the Modern Producer Podcast, expert talk on livestock housing and animal husbandry. Get ready for today's episode.
These days, a lot of things don't make sense, like gluten-free non-GMO water or raising pigs, but not eating pork. But NEDAP has three solutions for your farm that make sense, from farrowing to finish. NEDAP ProSense collects real-time 24/7 data on weight, feed intake, and calculates feed conversion ratios for you. NEDAP SowSense minimizes feed waste, maximizes sow performance, and saves labor for improved ROI. NEDAP PorkSense automatically sorts finishing hogs by weight, saving you feed and ensuring consistent market weights turn after turn for improved profits. Talk with your new standard representative today to see which NEDAP solutions make the most sense for your farm.
Welcome to our next Modern Producer Podcast. Glad whoever's listening has actually decided to join us. Today we got Jeff Morton with us, and calling in all the way from the Great White North is my brother Kevin and one of our other guys up there, Dwayne Morrow. So welcome to it, guys.
Glad to be here. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Good day. Good day.
Good day.
So now that we've got all of those silly little Great White North things out of the way, I guess we're going to focus a little bit today, or just try and get a conversation going a little bit on a blog that Kevin put together for us recently, a reflection on the last 10 years. I'm going to just let Kevin sort of wing it and go into it and sort of give us a little bit of a history lesson as he sees it from his end. So take her away, Kevin.
History lesson. That's a funny way to put it. I'm not old enough to be given history lessons, I guess. But yeah, I was asked or challenged, I guess, to give a bit of a reflection on the industry, where we've gone in the last, where we were 10 years ago and where we are today. Actually wasn't that difficult of an exercise, because sadly that actually only covers half my time in the industry here, so I didn't have to go all the way back, at least. But yeah, it was amazing when you start really pinning it down. The things we take for granted today 10 years ago literally did not exist, never mind being on anybody's radar. It doesn't seem to change yet. When you take a step back, it's changed immensely, not only in our personal lives, but in the industry and how we use technology. So it was a bit of fun to put together, just to even remind myself of where we've been and where we are now. It also gets you dreaming, obviously, of where we're going to be in the next 10 years, right? It's almost mind-boggling, really, how we've started to use these simple pieces of technology, be it the phones we're using here today, even to record this from remote locations, to the apps that are on them. It get used all the time, and we barely even notice it. If you want to think about everything inside of a barn in that regards, you know, a high-tech ventilation control, feeding controls, the way we looked at the loose housing software and what we were able to distinguish through that, none of it was even, it wouldn't even be recognizable today if you just simply flipped that switch and took it from 10 years ago to today. So it was a bit of fun to actually get back and look through all that.
Kind of a nice reminder that that we are moving in a pretty fun direction, and there's a lot more reason to be optimistic about the potential for the future.
Yeah, it's like I say, as these things come at us, we very quickly absorb them into our lifestyles, then get used to them and forget the day that they didn't exist. So when you're forced to remind yourself of all the things that have changed, it suddenly is something huge, not just a bunch of small things at once. So
it is, like you say, some of the stuff becomes integrated to the point where you're almost live by it, or won't live by it. There is a good reminder that sometimes there was a time frame where we didn't freak out if we forgot our phone at home, and now
right. More.
So yeah, you've done a fairly brief overview or synopsis, if you will, of the last of the last 10 years. But really, you start thinking of all the even like you say, some of the apps, some of the different things, who would have thought we would be able to just, you know, get, go on our phone and get some stranger to pick us up and drive us someplace. And we could just pay him without ever transaction, not even having a credit card. You just click on your phone and pay him for it. It's kind of a really cool thing when you think about it. So what do you, I mean, really looking back, and I know everybody, Jeff and Dwayne and you, Kevin, all have, you know, slightly different perspectives. You've come through it different ways. What would be the biggest shifts you guys all saw in the last 10 years, whether it be in technology or in Barnes specifically, or just in the daily life? Call something out that you would say is the biggest shift you've seen.
I think from my perspective, the biggest shift, there's a lot of bells and whistles. Same thing applies, you know, personal life. People got all these great things. They're not really doing anything with them, in my opinion. They just have them. So there's been a lot of bells and whistles that don't necessarily do anything for anyone. The big true advancement that I've seen is, you know, for lack of a better term, let's call it the big data, right? We used to look at every small individual thing. Again, a lot of my experience and a lot of my references would be to whether it be ventilation controls or different type of control systems in the barn. It was always looked as a whole lot of systems within a barn. I think we've really transitioned to the point where people have shifted along with technology, that the mentality always is more along the lines of what, to be honest, I always thought it should be, that the whole barn is looked at as one system. There are different components within it, but now we need information from every aspect to truly see how we're doing. You know, the breeding guy, he can only do such a job. If the farrowing guy isn't doing it, it doesn't count for nothing, and it doesn't count if the finishing guy isn't doing his job, right? Everything has to actually jive together. And that's where a lot of this stuff has allowed us to cleanly. It's not that we weren't able to necessarily get this information before, but now we've got technology in front of us that allows us to pull this stuff together and truly get a good overview. Everybody knows the term dashboard, right? We've got the ability to pull it to this dashboard, get the relevant information of the overall picture, and there's still a long ways to go, but we're getting real close to be able to analyze what's happening today and therefore adjust for it, versus, you know, much of the stuff that was available before. You know, you hear guys talk about closeouts, or they look at their end of the year numbers, and that's all great. You need to review that. But all that does is tell you what happened, what possibly went right, what possibly went wrong, where you ended up, but it didn't allow you to actually adjust or change for anything.
Sure.
So the reaction you can make to any potential issues was delayed and therefore not resolved actually to be your benefit. So the way we're collecting the data now, and again, it's the equipment and the technology that's allowing this. If you want to start at the sow end, the information we're now getting out of how they're acting and what's going on in the pen, following them through to the farrowing. Now they wean, you got those pigs off in a nursery room. You can put in a scale that's live data shooting you know, their growth rates, water consumptions. You can follow everything right through with live data that allows you to recognize an issue before it truly becomes one in many cases.
You can be much more
the whole barn as an ecosystem is I think the biggest shift technology has allowed and mentalities have followed.
Right. So to make an analogy of sorts, instead of four different vehicles traveling down the road, it becomes one vehicle where everybody's traveling together and everybody's right, working together to one ultimate goal.
And not that they weren't working to one goal before, but now they actually all have the, you know, to use the technology reference again, they all punched in the same address to their GPS. They're all actually following the same route now.
Sure.
Rather than, you know, shooting by the seat of their pants, and this guy saying, well, I'm going to take this left because I think it's quicker. They're all getting the same information so they can all get there at the same time. Right?
Okay, fine. Your analogy is better than mine. I was trying anyway.
What about you, Dwayne? What do you think? You've been in this industry now, what, 3-4 years? Obviously, you've had a little bit of exposure to barns done long before your time in the industry as well. You're more of the techie and getting right down into the nuts and bolts of things. What have you seen that's really shifted? Yeah, the technology, the ability to remote monitor their ecosystem, like Kevin says, has become, I think, a big thing for a lot of producers. And also for our technology manufacturers, I think they've all become or come to a point where they've realized they can't do it all themselves, and proprietary equipment, the way the future looks, it's going to become a lot more open source concept, more collaboration between different technology producers to produce a product that will allow us to more efficiently allow these ecosystems to operate and actually allow the stock person to be the stock person, not really reducing the amount of work in a sense, but the focus of the work involved and the ability to address these problems before they become a problem. That is one of the biggest things. Before, a lot of these barns have been in, before technology has gotten into them, yes, they're struggling with trying to work with 20-year-old technology, as well as try to do their day-to-day routine and maintain an efficiency where they're still profitable at the end of the year. Technology, I think, will allow them to become more profitable at the end of the year due to the fact that they will be able to make changes throughout that year when things aren't looking like they should be going.
Right. So they'll be able to make changes as they need to on a moment's notice because they'll know about it rather than know that it happened 5 months later or something like that. And I think go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
The way it's looking, I think that's the only way to gain the efficiencies to maintain profitability for the future. Everything has become so tight on margins that now it is efficiency, and technology will provide us those efficiencies that might allow us to continue into the future.
Sure. And I think that even just to bring Jeff in here, that's one of the things that's really kind of cool. You were speaking, Duane, about the open source type of mentality. And even with a lot of the data that we're generating, if you look in a barn that has NEDAP equipment with RFID antennas, for instance, and it's something Kevin alluded to about learning about behaviors of animals, learning where they travel, how they move through a pen throughout the day, how they interact with their equipment. All of that stuff becomes a multitude, millions really, of data points that then can be taken by different companies that are good at analysis, creating dashboards, take that information and actually turn it into something that's usable or something that the producer can respond to on a moment's notice. So Jeff, just to sort of put a cap on this part of the discussion, like what is the shifts that you've seen, or you've been in and out of it in the last 10 years, or in and out of the industry, I should say. So we've spoke on this in the previous podcast, but what are some of the things you've seen?
I would say, I would just concur with everything that Kevin and Duane have said so far, really the big data and the connectivity really between, from NEDAP's perspective, making the connectivity better and being there from actually farrow to finish and being able to capture data in the whole process from beginning to end. But yeah, that connectivity is definitely become more available and more useful. One thing I've noticed, like you say, I started doing CAD work and on these barns and things back in 2009, 2010. And one thing I would have to say, and I think Kevin alluded to it, is it's hard not to notice the mentality of the producer, that tremendous shift in the mentality. Just, I think, from their open-mindedness to it and now, working toward the necessity of it to have that connectivity and for everyone to be able to access this data and work together. NEDAP can capture the data and learn as much as we possibly can about the animal. And that continues to move forward at a great pace. And we can, create those algorithms. But ultimately, it's up to the producer and the nutritionist and the veterinarians and the packing plant to take that data and try to find the, you know, the commonalities between the best producing animals and so forth. But yeah, I would say, you know, certainly the big data connectivity and again, just the shift in the mentality.
Well, I think that's, you know, it's not only where the technology in our industry specifically has allowed that. It's as I'd said in my blog, it's everywhere in our lives. It's almost got to the point where, because all these things in our personal life we now take for granted, as far as what, who and where and how easy it is to connect with people or things or get information, it's all at our fingertips at all times, right? So that's helped push society in general, never mind producers, towards it. It's become not even a, boy, wouldn't it be nice? It's become an expectation. Why can't you do this? Right. So it certainly drives innovation. You know, again, having worked with NEDAP for more than the last 10 years, but, over that whole time, I've seen the shift even within NEDAP where, of course, producing quality equipment for a barn is always paramount. You have to build something or that's actually going to last in a barn environment, and it's going to be usable by the animals and the producer. But the funny thing is, we've talked about this in house recently, that, you know, a lot of those boxes are checked. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. A solid piece of equipment 10 years ago is still a solid piece of mechanical equipment today. So what's really been the innovation is again on the software side, and going, okay, now that we've got this thing that works, lasts, and is easy to maintain, what else can we do with it? I've even heard some of those references from within NEDAP going, you know, it's a mental shift of saying, yes, it's a feed station, but the feeding, we've got that down for the last, you know, 30 years. We know how to feed animals. We don't need to try to reinvent that. It's what else can we use this machine we already have for? And that's where the data collection, or call it a sensor, whatever, you know, we want to say, that we're learning stuff from this machine rather than being out there and just saying, hey, we'll make sure feed gets in front of your animal every day. That's important, of course, but it's, I hate to say it, but it's almost secondary in this point. The feeding's going to happen. We know that the equipment can do that. It's what else can it do for us, right? And that's the producers are shifting to that as well, going, why are we arguing about how to deliver feed? We know how to do that. What else can we do with these animals? What else can we do from a management or a behavior standpoint, right?
Let's capture as much information as possible while that sow's standing there. Let's get everything we
right.
can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's
and it's again too, presenting it in such a way that it means something, right? Again, you know, I only have to go back a few years and think of where guys are going, okay, you already know this, you know this, you know this. How come I can't know this? And I'm going, well, of course the machine knows this information, but if I just threw you all these data points in an Excel sheet, you're never actually going to look at them. You're never going to do anything with them, right? So you'll have the information, but you're going to be buried in it and it'll be no good. And that's where, you know, Dwayne had alluded to, rather than one company trying to get it all right, the focus is on certain aspects. And the more these companies work together, NEDAP specifically opening up that data, going, we can feed the animals and collect the data. We will be good at that. We'll focus on that. But we need somebody else who's good at analyzing that data and then presenting it in a nice little dashboard that actually means something to the guy that he can react to. Because just telling him every day that this animal did that, it does no good unless it's presented in a fashion that, you know, allows him to do something with that information. Otherwise, it is just a bunch of numbers.
And really, that's the next step. I think we really we talk that we can do all this, but we really need to get people on board or companies on board with creating those dashboards, that display of information to use it. So we now have the data, but our real big step needs to be having the nutrition companies and the vets and the different data management companies take this because we're able to provide it, but somebody needs to actually break it down. So that's the push that really, I guess, still has to happen.
Yeah. And it's starting to happen. I've seen some examples of it already. And again, it's just the right partnerships need to get into place. All this exists. It's a matter of bringing the right people to the table to give the final picture. I've seen some examples of that where where, yeah, the simple information of how much every animal, every sow in that barn is gaining. You know, we have the NEDAP sow weigher in there. Great, we're getting information on her, but what are we doing with it? I've already seen some examples of guys taking that raw data, punching it back, and then you actually look at this little graph, and I'm a very visual guy in that way. Okay, I can sit there for days and analyze the data and probably come up with a good idea. But when you see it visually and you can lay one over the other, it just jumps off the page at you, right? Rather than spending all morning looking for it, it's there instantly the minute you see it. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've seen some of those graphs on the sow weighers that they're monitoring worldwide just for keeping there, researching how everything is responding. Yeah. And it's pretty cool to see that worldwide the growth rate through a gestation phase is very similar on sows, no matter which barn it's in. But you can actually see that there are points in that growth phase through the 112 days or 110 days, whatever she's in the gestation pen where she's being fed. There's things that we need to take to nutritionists and say, why does she stop putting on weight at this certain point? What can we do? Is this a good thing? Maybe that's just natural that there's a shift in hormones at that point and it's natural, but it's kind of cool to see that those graphs, like you say, I too am visual, and it just jumps off the page. Okay, here she's growing, and here's her rise in her weight, and then wait a minute, why are we just falling off for the next 2 weeks, and then she starts growing again? That's so evident already.
Yeah, and seeing that, it's funny because it actually immediately asks more questions that it answers, which is good. In the end, it may be that's actually normal, healthy, and good, and there might be ways to encourage that feeder differently, and that two-week weight loss is actually a good thing because that means it's throwing more at the piglets, and then we're going to gain her back later. The simple fact is we don't know yet, right? There's a pile of data out there, and at conferences lately, they're all showing you this and going, okay, if she's at such and such a condition, this kind of back fat, this weight, and at the beginning of gestation, and she's at the end, this, that's your target. Well, that's great. We've got two data points that you should shoot for, and they're telling you if you can maintain that, you're doing well. However, we've got 110 days in between those two points, as you said, where we really have no idea what she's truly doing. To date, there's no research on it. There's nothing. Right. So the fact that we're able to grab this data now without having to even build a research facility, realistically, we're able to take normal commercial real world applications and grab this data and now get people who do this for a living analyzing that. It's going to open up a lot of doors because we're now able to identify things and potentially solve or issues or improve on other things without having to wait years for someone to run 10 sows through a barn and get all that information. We're getting thousands of animals worldwide in commercial applications. It's going to allow a huge jump, a huge advancement, in my opinion, in what kind of research could even be performed, because we can collect this data without having to get a government grant and build a small little barn that isn't a real world application anyway.
Sure. And I think even
not that we're trying to put the universities out of business, but they can now, rather than building their own, they can take this data and start actually looking into it.
Yeah, right? they can start using, like you say, commercial applications and take information, because that's really what they want to work with anyway, is application or information from real applications. And I think just to bring it into a different line a little bit, I think I'm dating all of us at this point, but a lot of the shift we see where the demand, if you will, or the acceptance of a lot of this technology has happened because there's a lot of people that are coming onto management positions within the industry that are younger than all four of us. It has been a lot of the shift has been a generational shift where people we're now working with, a good portion of them are younger than me, unfortunately. But those are the ones that those kind of people are exciting to work with, because they not only are used to it and comfortable with this kind of technology, they by and large, they expect it, and you have to meet them where they're at.
yeah, they've grown up their whole lives with, you know, I reference that as well in conversations with people, as my kids don't know a day before tablets were a reality. You know, to explain to them that a tablet did not always exist, it's actually as simple as my kids looked at me quite goofy a while back when I mentioned that we used to actually have to carry our suitcases because they didn't have wheels. They thought I was from the Stone Age, to be honest.
There's no excuse for that. Obviously. That was a major miss on the part of human.
Yeah, trust me. I had to admit to them that it felt a little stupid going, yeah, why didn't I think of putting wheels on a suitcase? We did have the wheel, kids. I had to actually explain that. Yeah, these people that are coming into the industries. Into the industry now, be it we see a lot on the family farms where it's that millennial generation taking over. They're coming out of college, they're returning to the farm. You know, they've always had technology in their life. They can't understand why the barn wouldn't have it. Be it guys coming into not all, even on the family farms, the corporate side of it, the managers that are getting hired in general. Like you say, the age thing in general is going to take that shift naturally with it, because there has been that society shift.
And it's a fun thing for me. I love to be challenged. I love to see this new stuff being asked for, and I'm quite happy to be pushed forward. I think all of us in general, that's kind of our nature, is that we want to not just to sell things but just to advance things. It's always kind of been our driver. It's been our MO is not just to provide us a solution, but to maybe push the envelope a little bit, push things forward. It's nice to see this generational shift, because it's exciting.
Yep. And the fact that we go back long enough, and I remember being bright-eyed and going, why can't we do this? Why can't we do that? And the answer usually was because that would be too difficult. That was, be it from the designers, the programmers. It was just the simple reality is this technology that we use and take for granted, they did not exist. So their answer of no, that's not possible, was correct at the time, but also short-sighted, that it's not that it's not possible. It's not that it's not possible today. So get working towards it. Don't just reject it, but work towards it, right? And now I think we get a whole lot more of, when these big, broad things come up and go, why can't we do this? You don't get quite as much pushback anymore from the manufacturers of going, well, that's not possible. You get a bit more of a, yeah, that's interesting. We're working on it. It's at least that they're willing to accept that anything's possible. How are we going to do it? That brings Dwayne's thing back in, be it our industry or other technology advancements. There's very few companies trying to stand alone, right?
And in this day and age, I don't believe a company can stand alone with the amount of data really the world today is becoming an internet of things. We always hear IoT, that's the way everything is going. A lot of our cities, our infrastructure is all IoT. Why not the farm? Might as well connect it, upload the data, remote service. All these things become part of the Internet of Things. So, and I do believe that's the future. And a lot of these large companies have realized it too, and just the amount of open source. Google's a prime example. A company that is that large, they really don't need anybody else, but they know they need more than themselves.
Sure.
Because with an open source, we have that many more people involved, that many more ideas being thrown out on the table, and that many more eyes analyzing the code, the data, everything involved.
So shifting things a bit and maybe taking it off of just a focus on feeding and sows and that sort of stuff, which we've touched on quite a bit. Dwayne, you always have your eye or finger on the pulse of some of this stuff. And then obviously you see slightly different things in your region than we do here. What other technologies that we might see applied? What do you see coming down the pipeline that we haven't yet integrated into our into the barns that we're seeing?
I foresee that a lot of it's going to become a camera or a visual system. Basically, with the technology we have today with facial recognition, 3D recognition, and now doing laser and camera measurements, the technology is going to shift in a way that the computer system is more of a visual system. And even RFID technology could wind up being a thing of the past when we become to the point where we can identify the animals as individuals through facial recognition, video, and also doing sizing and stuff with lasers and stuff like that. These technologies have been around for a while. They've just now getting to the point where the open source is surpassing what anybody could build on their own.
Sure.
The ideas that are being tossed around, it's actually limitless where this could go for the future. It's now our limit is how far we can dream, is the way I feel about that.
So you're saying facial recognition, we've all heard that, but I guess, yeah, have we really thought about it? Pigs have faces as well, right? They're all individuals. You're saying that get the right camera and software. At this point, we could mount some cameras and know every animal individually by how they look. And again, now it's limitless. What do you want to know? Do you want to know where she is, when she's eating, where she's sleeping? You could almost pretty much know all of that at any given time, right?
Yeah, you could at that point then even get right down into the true animal behavior of that individual. If that individual is a problem for your ecosystem, you could address that before it became an issue for your other animals that are working well within your ecosystem. The management become that much more greater. The ability to pick your animals, see what you have in your herd would be. Right now, we only know who's going through the system. We don't know what they're doing, exactly where they're laying, how they're interacting with other animals within the pen. You add this video technology, we identify those animals, know where they are, how they're interacting with other animals. It's unbelievable where you could actually go with that if you start dreaming about it.
I think there is some companies out there already. I just read a report was, and I'd have to go back and reference it, but some companies are already doing that facial recognition type work. I think UNL, our University of Nebraska and Lincoln, they have some researchers already doing quite a bit with camera technology and pigs. And of course, Dwayne, I can't help but as soon as you said measuring with lasers and everything, I had Dr. Evil's voice coming into my head saying pigs with lasers mounted on them now instead of sharks. But
but no, Dwayne's absolutely
well,
right.
Just like Dr. Evil, why can't we just have that?
Dwayne's absolutely right, though. I mean, that is definitely the direction that NEDAP and others are going towards, more camera. And the facial recognition is a very real thing that's, like Tim said, already happening. You know, while it's not widely available yet, it's only a matter of time because the technologies are already there and people are starting to use and develop that. And I think NEDAP is a little bit further along on the dairy side of things, a little bit further than on the pig side as far as, you know, animal behavior and animal locating, finding out exactly how many times a day that cow is standing up and sitting down and monitoring the heart rate all day. And then with the location, being able to know, you know, within an inch of where that animal is at all times and that kind of thing. But it's certainly there. The technologies are there and it's all going that direction. And I think it's going at a very fast pace.
Well, you think of some of that we've always, well, for about the last 2-3 years, Kevin, we've been saying, okay, we're doing all this. We know they're doing it on the dairy side. We know that we can position these cows. They're wearing basically a Fitbit. We can GPS track them. We can position them anywhere in the barn. And the question was always, how do we get this to the pig level? And the challenge was always the fact, how do you mount something on a pig that would work for that? But Dwayne's vision of it is maybe a better way to assume that we might get there with pigs. more with facial and body recognition or camera technology rather than using an actual GPS locator. That would allow us to then start positioning animals and following them through the pen throughout the day.
Yeah, well, again, the holdback or the delay has always been the physical side of the technology with pigs. You know, everybody knows you can hang a collar around that cow's neck and that nice docile Betsy's going to keep it on for the rest of her life. It's not going to be a problem. You put that on a pig, as the saying goes, you can spend 2 years, 20 engineers building something and a pig will tear it apart in 24 hours because they got nothing else to do all day but to destroy it, right? So it's that's always been the holdback in hog barns is it needs to last in a hog barn. Right. And, you know, that alludes back to something I was saying before is a lot of this equipment that we use that, you know, for example, NIDA produces, that's been done. You know, the field testing is immense. The design, the ruggedness, that's been covered. We don't need to reinvent some of this basic mechanical part of it. It's been done. It's now, what do we do on the sensing part? What else can we learn? And yeah, it has to last in a pig barn. You know, we talk about using cameras. That's all well and good. I can mount one tomorrow in a pig barn. What I can't guarantee is that it won't get covered with dust or fly shit or someone's going to hit it with 2,500 PSI and blast it off the wall. So you still need to have something that is usable long term. There's great enclosures. There's great camera systems out there. But that's again, going to be the holdback on any of it is making sure you have a system that once it's installed actually stays functional for a length of time rather than failing. And then it's no good to you anyway on the hardware side. If that fails, the software doesn't do you any good. So
right.
It's still always a development. Yeah. You mentioned, you know, cameras, one side of it. You mentioned about the Fitbit thing, which again is, I guess I didn't even include that in my blog, but that's something that I've definitely seen. I don't know, hate to characterize this, but I don't know a female in adult female in my life that does not wear one. I can also tell you none of them use it for half of what it's for. It's a watch and a texter most times. But yeah, if you could get that kind of info again that they're getting out of that type of technology on the dairy side already, that's where I still think you need hardware to the point that we can still fit it on a pig or however that's going to look, because collecting that individual heart rate, sleeping patterns, all you won't grab a lot of that through the camera stuff, right? You can grab a lot, but not all of that. And starting to determine heat cycles, even without the bore, because you're monitoring her temperature and heart rate and all the rest, we can really start to zone in on some stuff that, you know, once you get that, the health of a herd, right? Being able to notice that, whatever water consumption and weight gain, that's one thing we can monitor that. But if their heart rates, body temperatures are changing, you're going to know a flu's coming through your herd before anybody's going to be able to visually identify that.
So
you're just going to cut down your costs, your health of the herd improves, which only improves your productivity.
So are we going to get to the point where, I know this is going to scare a lot of people for various reasons, are we going to get to the point of having an embedded or implanted type of monitor rather than a mounted one?
It wouldn't surprise me, but the challenge, in fact, that technology exists right now. The problem with it is anything embedded or injected becomes a food safety issue. We cannot guarantee where that does not move or end up in the meat at some point. So I don't see that truly being where we're going to go because, again, that technology is injectable, has been for years. I remember, it's over 5-6 years ago talking with a guy about ideas like this. And you go to your pets, your dogs are able to be injected with a GPS that also tells you their heart rate and temperature and location and all this stuff. That's been available for a long time. The reason you can't put that in a pig is you can't guarantee where that is or that the processing plants are set up in such a way to remove that And we can't allow that kind of stuff to get into our food chain.
Sure.
Obviously, we live in a country where the dogs and cats don't end up in our food chain, so we don't have that same concern. And don't make the comments about the Chinese restaurant thing.
Well, it's been a lot of new stuff coming down. I think we'll find or use this kind of as a point to wrap up today and close out this discussion. I'm sure we can always find ways to have more. More ideas. We'll come up with some more stuff, but appreciate you guys being on today and thanks for listening.